Tales of Apartment Dwellers presents Your Mouse Isn't Afraid.
You wake up to the smell, rank. The dirty dishes in your sink, your musty bedroom, and the moldy fruit on the counter in the kitchen all demand that you be an adult today, that you do something about the state of your apartment. You roll over in bed. You try to ignore your senses. You want to sleep. Sleep is good. Cleaning is bad. Cleaning is change. You like your apartment this way. The mess makes it feel like home, right? You almost succeed in falling back asleep when you smell it on your pillow. Your bed needs clean sheets. You tell yourself that the smell isn't that bad. Your bed isn't that dirty. You know that's not true. You remember the old mustard stain and the tuna salad you spilled 3 days ago. You can smell the too much sleep smell mixed with the food spills. You know it's time. Fine. You get started. You strip your bed. You clean the bathroom. You change the loads of laundry. You fold clothes. You vacuum the floor. You get into the rhythm of moving from one room to the next. You finally get to the kitchen. You open the pantry. There's mouse poop in the pantry. There's mouse poop around the expired peanut butter. There's mouse poop on the top ramen. There's mouse poop inside the chewed up cracker boxes. You've been robbed. You arm yourself. The flashlight, your tracker. The broom, your weapon. You comb your apartment. You investigate every tight space. You will not let this go. You will search day and night until you find the secret entrance, the breach in your defenses. You imagine your mouse to be a black market smuggler, with an eye patch and a little bag slung over its shoulder. You imagine him slipping through your walls in the dead of night, eating you out of house and home, then taking the leftovers to the mouse black market. You know he charges top dollar for the meager crumbs he didn't see fit to eat himself. But he's the most discreet of the human food smugglers, so mice pay his high prices. Mouse law doesn't allow human food to be sold on the mass mouse market. It has too many preservatives in it, and there's an obesity epidemic in the American mice populace at the moment. You find it. You find the hole. Behind the washer, by where you keep the pile of mismatched socks. You run to the kitchen. You grab a soggy rag off of the counter. You shove the rag beyond the point of return. It was a soggy rag anyway. You get up. You survey the hole. You know that nothing will ever come through that hole again. You walk back to the kitchen. You look over the stack of dishes in the sink. Time to get back to work. That's when you hear it. A rustling behind you. Sweat beads in the palms of your hands. You turn. There he is. He doesn't have an eye patch or a bag full of loot slung over his shoulder. He is a very average-looking mouse. He charges you. You run. You drop your flashlight. You don't have that many places to go. You live in a studio. You jump onto your kitchen table. You stand there, looking back at the mouse, brandishing your broom. You're frozen. You can't move. The little intruder stops. He sits on his back legs. He looks up at you, sniffs the air, then turns back the other way. He runs. Your inner animal wakes up. You are the top of the food chain. You have a broom. Why should you be afraid of a mouse? No, you're not afraid. You are powerful. That mouse should be afraid of you. You yell a battle cry, then you make chase. You chase the mouse all over your apartment. You hold the broom high over your head. You will not be stopped. You chase the little robber. You find him. He stopped in front of his blocked hole. You imagine he's confused. Now you have him. He turns, looks at you. This is your chance to prove it. You're going to assert your place at the top of the food chain. You bring your broom down. The bristles of the broom make contact with the head of the mouse. Now you've done it. The mouse looks at you, stunned. It rubs its head with its tiny mouse hands. It begins to cry. Tears, much bigger than you would expect, begin to dot the carpet. The mouse asks why you did that. You're shocked. You didn't mean to make him cry. You try to apologize, to explain you were afraid, that his presence scared you. The mouse interjects that he was afraid too. Then he covers his eyes with his small mouse hands, his whole body shakes with sobs. You get on your knees. You continue to apologize. You start to cry too. You reach your hand out to the mouse. The mouse crawls, gasping and wailing, into your hand. You hold the mouse to you. The mouse holds you. You cry together for a long time. Later, you get the mouse a little mouse-sized bandage. Then, some ice that you melt in your mouth until it is small enough for the mouse to press against the bulge on his head. You make him a snack. You two talk. He notices how different your apartment looks, mostly clean. He says he thinks it looks nice. He tells you about other apartments in your complex. You talk about your next door neighbor who always vacuums at 9 p.m. on the dot, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night. He tells you she has a white rabbit and most of her furniture is dark. The mouse asks you why you were so afraid of him. You tell him you don't remember. You ask the mouse why he was so afraid of you. The mouse says because you were so big and he was so small. It's late. You invite the mouse to stay. He does. The mouse never leaves. The two of you begin to do everything together. You keep him in the pocket of your coat when you go out. Whenever something scares you, he encourages you to face your fears. You do it together. You are never alone again. You ride roller coasters you never thought you would ride. You flirt with boys who are out of your league. You tell your parents you don't need their money anymore. You move to another state where the rent is cheaper. You go abroad to join up with the Kurdish freedom fighters. Your mouse is in your pocket all along. At night, you two speak in muted voices, looking up at stars that look exactly the same from the balcony of your first apartment. He nuzzles against your cheek. You're warm. When you get home, you write a best-selling children's book about a girl being brave because of a mouse. You buy a house out in the desert. You build a special tunnel structure on the walls and the floor for your mouse. Every night, the two of you watch the stars. Change doesn't scare you anymore.
You have been listening to a performance of Your Mouse Isn't Afraid, written by Haley Shannon, read by Victoria Chang. Tales of Apartment Dwellers is produced by Alyssa Wilkins and Haley Shannon. Artwork by Jillian Allen. Tales of Apartment Dwellers is a Blue Peaks production. Follow us on Instagram at Blue Peaks Productions.